Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Tonight we have part 71 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. Now it's tonight here, but when you're hearing this tape, it may be real early in the morning or in the afternoon. I have no idea. It depends on what part of the world you're in and what time we're on the station in your part of the world. Well, these tapes are also on our website. You can hear them. And they're archived in also so that you can go back like months ago and hear the ones that I've done months ago. This is program number 173, and if you'd like to have a copy of it, I will give you four different ways of how to order it right after this service tonight. Make sure you tell us whether you want a tape or a CD. We have both. Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask the Lord to pour out His anointing spirit upon me so that He can speak through me. I want to just yield to You, Father. And I pray, Lord, that You open the spiritual eyes and ears of everyone that hears this tape tonight, and that it be everything that You want it to be. Lord, save souls. Strengthen the church, Father. And Lord, we bind every devil in hell on earth, and we pray, Lord, that we know that You're going to keep Your word, that You also are binding Satan and the things that are wrong in this world in heaven. Lord, we ask that You do that because we know You're coming back to earth again and very soon. So we pray that You'll do all these things on this tape, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, where's the first letter from?
From Liberia, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, Christian holy greetings. God is doing His own work with more souls getting saved through your literature. A taxi driver just joined us to be part of the distribution team. He's carrying your newsletters to all parts of the city by simply sharing with those who ride in his car. Praise God, He is doing His work. I have many pictures to send, but those who take our pictures refuse to give our negatives. Therefore, kindly drop one camera in the mailbag from the church. As we win one soul for Christ, we sleep well, and Christ will be happy. Luke chapter 10, verse 15. Pastor George Willie.
Praise the Lord. Very nice. Make sure we send a camera. You know, we spend $10, or maybe we can get a fairly good camera for $10 or $15, maybe $20, $25, and send several rolls of film, instructing him to, instead of taking the films to a place there, just send the rolls of film back here. We'll have them developed and send him copies and put the others that we know the general public will like in our newsletters. Okay, and then where's the next letter from?
From Los Angeles, California.
All right.
Appreciated Pastor Alamo, greetings from Gloria. May you continue in the ministry which helps a lot of people off of the streets who are into drugs and alcohol and other sinners in this evil world. May the Lord extend your life so you can continue in this work, since there is no other ministry who does this. I am going through some problems. I'm asking for more literature. I really love mass suicides. Can you send me some for distribution? I attend the Santa Clarita Church. I'm sending you a $20 tithe for the work you are doing. God bless you. Gloria from Los Angeles, California.
Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, send her mass suicide. The mass suicide piece of literature tells that if you are not in the Lord and you decide not to serve Him, that you're committing suicide, spiritual suicide. You will not enter the kingdom of God. You'll be there at the great white throne on judgment day for the final judgment, and God will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And that'll be into hell, and then later the lake of fire. All right, then the next letter, please.
From Zambia, Africa. Dear servant of God, I am really very enthusiastic to inform you that your literature you have sent has stimulated so many people in town. And fortunately, I met another associate minister who was also busy discussing about you, and we have coordinated to work for your ministry. So many people now want so much literature, Bibles, the Messiah, and t-shirts and posters. Just a short time of operation in office, and so many people are coming to Jesus. God is working in you wonderfully, and your literature will conquer so many people here. Please, we have many people asking where we gather, but we tell them, wait, as of now, we are just evangelizing and distributing the gospel. Meanwhile, others are saying we shouldn't just evangelize and send them to other churches, as they may be misled.
Right, the real good thing to do is just open up, just gather together at your home or cafeteria someplace. You know, these cafeteria owners will allow you to go in there, some of them, if they're not doing much business, and because they know you'll order something and their gross will go up. Okay, and then what?
Your soul-winning literature is on highest demand here. At first you sent me a Bible and other newsletters. God bless you abundantly, richly, and greetings to all members and staff of the Alamo Church. Greetings to Reverend Alamo, yours in Jesus' name, Redson from Chipata, Zambia, Africa.
Is that it now?
Yes.
For the letters?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Sharon, let's begin part 71 of How to Have God's Life Living in You.
In the United States of America, what the people are doing is literally baptizing pagans without...
Well, yeah, they're doing this all over the world. I didn't mean to just put United States of America, but here in the United States, people can see this, and I just really praise and thank the Lord that so many Africans and people in India are getting saved. These are real pagan countries, and they're so enthusiastic, and they're really becoming born again of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Then what?
What people are doing is literally baptizing pagans without them having been saved.
Right. The churches are filled full of unsaved people that they say they have been baptized in water, and they've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, and they've never really received the Lord Jesus Christ in their hearts. Then what?
Those who sit in churches, they're not daring to realize that they are the ones who need to be saved, the ones who need to have Christ living in and through them. Many of you people out in Radio Land, and those of you who listen to me right now and in the churches, are going to be wondering if those old sinners are going to go to hell. So preach to them, Reverend. Preach to them, Tony. Get those old sinners where they belong. Get them in there today. Tell them about Jesus. When I say in actuality, those of you who are saying that are the ones that really need to be saved. Because you're not. But Tony, I've got religion. You want to know something? Religion never saved anybody. It sends people to hell. So remember, it was a bunch of religious leaders and a religious crowd that crucified Jesus to the cross. So I don't care anything about any religion at all. Most people in America and around the world right now need to turn away from religion and to turn to Jesus. It will be a great day in the United States and the rest of the world when people stop enduring religion and start enjoying salvation in the Lord. Many people say, I know the plan of salvation. I know how to lead a person to the Lord. I know how to take the Bible and lead them from one scripture to another, lead them from one book in the Bible to the other book, giving them the actual plan of salvation so that they can be saved. I know a lot. But I want you to know something. You see, you're not saved by knowing the plan of salvation. You're saved by knowing the man who made the plan, the man who fulfilled that plan.
That is Jesus. You must know him because he states that those that he says, when I say, I never knew you, that means he says, depart from me, you that work iniquity. And so we don't need to just know what the plan of salvation is. We need to know Jesus. We need to know the one that made the plan of salvation, and the one in whom salvation is. All right, then what?
That's how you're saved.
Right.
In the church members who get their names on the church docket or the church wall but haven't gotten saved yet, and they haven't gotten their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. the Lamb's Book of Life is going to be opened in the Kingdom of Heaven. I'm going to be talking about that soon. These are they who are called to stand in the final judgment before the great white throne. I'm going to show you something soon, what they will be called. Right now in the Bible, verse 13 in the book of Revelation chapter 20, quote, "And the sea gave up their dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them," unquote. Now what in the world does that mean? What does this verse mean? What the verse is saying is that death will have the body and life will have a new body.
Death will have the body, and then what?
And life will have a new body.
Right. But death and hell, they have the body. Now, what does that mean? Keep going.
People who have died and their bodies have gone down into the grave to a sea, there will be a resurrection of not only the righteous, but the unrighteous as well are going to be resurrected also.
A lot of people just think that the righteous will be raised from the dead, but everyone is going to be raised from the dead. The sea will give up their dead. Every part of this, for everybody that ever lived before, will be raised from the dead. And the righteous and the unrighteous. The unrighteous will go before the great white throne for final judgment. Then what?
You see, you may have had in your mind that there's nobody going to get up but the righteous people. But if that's what you thought, that's wrong. The Bible tells you otherwise. The Bible doesn't teach anything like that. This is what the Bible teaches. The book of Revelation shows us that the righteous and the unrighteous will rise at the end of time. The graves are going to vomit forth the streaking morning, and the dead, these unsaved, are going to be there. They're going to come out of their graves to be judged by the Lord. From the depths of the sea, they are going to come forth. They're going to come forth, and they're going to come from the whining sheets of the desert sand. They're going to come from out of the world, from the tropical forests, the islands. They're going to come from the cactus groves of Mexico. They're going to come. The dead are going to be raised to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have freshly died and those who have been dead for thousands of years, whose bones have deteriorated and have turned to dust. Verse 13 again, quote, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell gave up the dead which were in them," unquote. Tony, what does it mean? What does it say? What does this mean? Well, death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. So it's the same thing as what I've said before, because death has the body and hell has the soul.
You know, what about, why should God raise the people out of hell if they're already there? The people that are going to be in hell for eternity, why should he raise them up? And the answer for that, do you know? Does anybody know? Yes, the ones that have just checked this said no. Is that hell is a holding place. It's the same thing as, like, if you get arrested in Los Angeles or wherever you live, if, say, Los Angeles, they put you in a holding place. They arrest you and take you into the Los Angeles County Jail and place you there. If you get arrested in Fort Smith, they take you to the Fort Smith County Jail. New York, they take you to the Tombs and hold you there until the time of your trial, the final judgment. All right? So you're locked in. That is like the jail is similar to hell. All those that are going to be cast into the lake of fire are held in this prison. In other words, like the county jail. And then they take it into the court, which the Lord does. He takes all those in hell that are dead. Their souls are dead. They have they've already died. Their spirits have died because they rejected the plan of salvation. They rejected Christ. And so it's the dead. And then the second death is when they reach the final judgment and the Lord says, all right, now you've been held in hell now, but now hell and you that are dead, this is the second death, you're thrown into the lake of fire permanently. Okay? That's what it means. People ask, well, what does that mean? If they're in hell, why should they go back to hell? Because hell is just the same as the county jail. They got to go to an inferno. And they're held in hell right now until the day of the final judgment. When that happens, there's no parole. And there's no you can't make any appeal. And there's no mercy there. And why? Because you sowed no mercy while you were here on earth. Those that sow mercy shall reap mercy. Those that sow love, in other words, those that keep the commandments of the Lord, shall receive love from God. Okay, continue on.
You see, when Jesus Christ comes to judge, he's going to judge those who are raised dead bodies. When he gets ready to judge, the unsaved dead will be raised out of their graves, and then he will go to hell and get the spirit that matches the body and put that spirit back in that raised body so the individual can come back to life and stand at his throne.
Stand at the Lord's throne to be judged. And then that dead soul, that dead spirit, and that dead body are going to be cast into hell. Into the lake of fire, rather. Where there'll be weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth, there'll be fire and brimstone in the lake of fire. And you know, people get so weary. Sometimes I get very weary because I'm more or less on duty and have been for over 41 and a half years. And I just always think, like, I eat something or drink something nice and cool. Like last night, I had a can of cold peaches, and the syrup from it was so delicious and sweet and so refreshing to me. And I thought to myself, my God, these people in hell are never, ever going to have anything cold and satisfying like that. And I was so tired, and I knew that I'd be able to go and lie down after I got finished with those peaches. And I was so thankful to the Lord that I was still alive and still able to serve him and still able to have something delicious to eat, cold peaches. I really appreciated them last night before bedtime. And I was so glad. And I just thought, now what if I wouldn't be able to sit down and lie down, and that I have to just keep working because I didn't do the work of the Lord on this earth? That would be so horrible. And to know that it's, you know, if you're tired for just an hour or so or one day, that's one thing, but to know that you're never going to rest again for the rest of eternity. You're never going to sit down. You're never going to lie down. You're not going to sleep in the pain. There's no remedy for pain there. There's no painkillers whatsoever, and it's horrible. And why? Because they trampled underfoot the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and accounted it as an evil, wicked thing. Because God's telling people how to get into the kingdom of God, how to have his life living in them, and they don't appreciate. There's just evil resentment in them. And therefore God says, you hated my word. You hated my instructions to get into the kingdom of heaven, and I gave you space to begin doing something for me, and you didn't. And so you're the one that sent your soul into hell. You say, well, I thought that God was the God of love. He is to those that love him. I thought that God was the God of mercy. Well, he is to those that come unto him and want the mercy and that take up the cross and deny themselves and start sowing the same mercy that they receive to those that are lost out in the world. But if you just close your mouth and you don't say anything to anybody, try to witness to anybody, you're just resentful because you can't go out into this wicked world and live. And what is in this world? Nothing but crime and violence. Nothing but terrorism and every evil disease on the face of this earth. But for those of us that are saved, we're just passing through. And the Lord allows us to enjoy things, to really enjoy real life, because those that are in the world that are not going into heaven, they're dead. They don't enjoy life at all. And God has deprived them from everything, except he lets them hear the truth. He lets them breathe air and have something to eat if they get up and go to work. But they even hate that. Why was I born? Yes, why were you born? It would be better that you had never been born if you reject the gospel. It's better that you'd never been born if you reject God's only begotten Son and the mercy and the love that the Lord has shown you. Okay, continue on.
You see, that's what he's really saying. This is the second death. You're going to have resurrection, not just the good, but those that are evil as well.
See, you died once. You're going to die once. It's appointed unto man once to die. And if you died without receiving the Word of God, which is Jesus, and you hate the Word of God, which is Jesus, then you're going to experience the second death. Yes, you're going up to judgment. You're coming out of hell and death to stand judgment, and then the Lord is going to give you another death, one that's permanent. But the problem is you don't really die. You just continuously die throughout billions, and then after billions of years, they start again. Billions more. And then trillions. Why can't people see the light? You know that the word of the Lord is true. No matter how smart you think you are, usually it's a bunch of little kids that just don't pay any attention. Like they're smarter than God. Okay, then what else? But, then they're going to experience two deaths. Right immediately, the second one is after they're judged at the great white throne, the final judgment. Then what?
You're going to get up on the resurrection morning, but the wicked are going to get up and be judged as well. But Tony, if they're already in hell, why are they raised again and judged again when the Lord says they're already in hell? Why are they going to be judged when they're in hell already? Why? Because hell is just a holding place for those that are dead. Hell has the soul, but then they have to be raised for the final judgment. I'm going to say this again. Why are they going to be brought back to judgment? Why is he going to get them out of hell, put their souls back in their body, and then judge them, and yet they're already in hell? I don't understand, they often tell me. Well, you see, hell is really nothing but a holding tank with fire in it. When it says hell, it's talking about a holding tank, a holding place until the final judgment. So let me explain it this way. I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about. If somebody commits a real crime, this also happens in this world today when you don't commit a real crime, but of course this world or the law...
Right, they put me in jail for not... I didn't make any crime whatsoever, but these wicked people on earth... For the gospel's sake, and I count it all joy, because the Lord says they count it all joy when they persecute you, because they persecuted me, Jesus said. They put me in jail. They put the Apostle Paul in jail, and they cut his head off. And they crucified Peter upside down, so some of us get thrown in jail here, and we know what it's like to be in the holding tank in the county jail. And then we go to court, and then they, behold, they sent me to prison. I went to court in Memphis on this railroad job, this bogus IRS situation, and right after they sentenced me, the U.S. Marshals came and grabbed me and cuffed me and took me into the prison in Memphis. And I was there for quite a while, and then they took me off to Florence, Colorado, and then after that to Texarkana. And then I went to, they just shuffled me back and forth from one prison to the other. And, but thank God that I've got God, because I'm not going to that final prison where there's fire, and I'm not going to hell. But the people that do things like that, if they don't repent, they're going to hell, because they know they're doing wrong. And the people that bore false witness against me, or people that backslid from this church, they're going to hell as well, and then to the final judgment. And then they're going into the lake of fire, because hell, death and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire. And the Bible says at this point that this is the second death, the permanent death. All right, then what?
This world or the law, we can't talk about that the same way we talk about the true and righteous judgment of the Lord.
Yeah, this is the way the quote law, unquote. I see that they didn't put the quotes in there. I don't call this world law. It's their own, that's something that they made up that they call law, but God's law is the real law. And God's judgment is the final judgment. The judges, if they don't repent, that put people in prison for the wrong, for nothing, they're going to stand judgment before the real judge. You know, today, if a president doesn't like you, like I exposed the senior Bush, that he had six Nazi war criminals as his advisors. Can you imagine that? Because the man himself is obviously a Nazi, and they're both Catholics, him and his son. And they built memorials to the Vatican, and they say they're born-again Christians. But the minute that I exposed him, the senior Bush picked up the phone and says, "Get him. We've not been able to get him yet. We've taken him to court dozens of times, and he's always won. But get him on an IRS charge. Go to the different people that were in his church and threaten them that they're going to be deported." Or like this woman that I was married to, she was the Princess of Sweden. I believe she still is, but she's still alive. And she testified falsely in court against me. And other people they took out of prison if they would if they would testify falsely against me, and they did. And so all these people, all these incredibly pitiful people, are going to have to pay. But I pray that they can still repent. But go ahead, and if they can, well, that would be wonderful. I hold no grudge against them, because I've got eternal life. I'm not going to hell. I'm not going into the lake of fire. I thank and praise the Lord, and therefore I count it all joy that I was able to make it through all these things and still praise the Lord and still be bringing messages against the same people, but for them, in hopes that they'll repent. Okay, then what, Sharon?
But somebody in the world who, say, for instance, if they committed a crime here in Los Angeles or in Fort Smith, what they do is arrest you.
Or anywhere in the world, okay? They arrest you, then what?
Then they take you to the L.A. County Jail or the Fort Smith County Jail and lock you up and hold you
until... Or the Nashville Jail or the one in Stockholm, Sweden, or wherever, okay? It's just, I'm saying that because we hole out over in Los Angeles quite a bit and over in near the Texarkana area, Fort Smith area, New Jersey area, New York area, whatever. Then what else? Go ahead.
They hold you until the time comes for your trial. Then when you're found guilty after your trial, then the judge sentences you to a certain amount of time in prison. What you do is you don't go back to the jail for any big length of time. You go back there until they come to pick you up to take you to prison. And then when they come to pick you up, you go on to prison because there you have to spend your time. But in the case of heaven and hell and the final judgment, when you are sentenced to the lake of fire, you're there for eternity. There is no parole board. You can't appeal your case. There's just nothing that you can do but spend eternity there screaming your head off.
Yeah, there's no bushes to run to or trees to hide behind or anything, because it states that before this judgment, the Lord looks at the heavens and the earth and they flee away. So there's no bushes. There's nothing but God, the great white throne, and you. There's not even any clothing. You're standing there naked as you came into this world. That's the way you're going out. And then the Lord judges you because heaven and earth have fled away. If the earth has gone away and you're there at judgment, then there's no bush for you to hide behind like Adam and Eve did. Amen?
Amen.
Everything's gone, but just you and God. Then what?
That's similar to the way God works. In other words, this is what the Lord is saying, is that there's going to be a time when it's all over. Your body will be raised from the dead, and he will get that spirit that's been in a holding tank, your spirit in hell, put it back in your body. Then you'll stand before the righteous judge, and then God will sentence you to serve your time. And you'll do that time, not in hell. You'll be in hell, but death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire, the whole holding tank. You'll be in the lake of fire. So it's the lake of fire and brimstone. That's what the Lord is talking about here in the scriptures. He's giving up the dead and putting them in the lake of fire. Look at all the power with which they are called out of the sea, out of the grave, out
of... That's really some power that God has to just... call everybody that's ever been that was ever born and died and just call them all up at one time for judgment. Amen?
Amen.
That's power. And that's really power too, to just look at something like the whole earth and all the heavens and for them to flee away at your look. I used to joke before I was born again that I could grin a bear dead. Well, God can not only grin a bear dead, but he can just kill everybody on this earth, and he's going to kill billions of people by just uttering one word, plagues. Let the plagues hit. And these plagues should cause people to get down on their knees and repent of their sins so that they don't have to stand at this final judgment, and so they don't have to be cast into hell and then later... Where?
The
fire, the big fire, the lake of fire. Amen?
Amen.
The lake of fire and brimstone. All right, this, you know, this that kind of message like this should, even for the most lame of brains, should quicken them to repentance, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
All right, because these, I'm not making these things up. I took these out of the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
This is Bible. Word of God. Then what?
Look at all the power with which they are called out of everywhere in the world. Verse 13 of Revelation chapter 20 says, quote, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, unquote.
Death and hell, those that died and were placed in hell because that was the first death. And it was delivered up out of hell. Death and hell was delivered up to the judgment, the final judgment. Before the great throne, the white throne of God. Then what?
We want to know what that means. That means that there is no way that you're going to be able to escape the judgment. What it means is that...
Because everyone is raised up, whether you want to or not. Whether I want to or not, I'm going before the mercy seat of Christ. But those that died in their sins are going to be raised. They're in hell burning right now, and they're going to be raised up before the judgment bar of God, the great white throne, the final judgment. And they're going to be judged. They're going to know they're going to hell. I mean to the lake of fire. And then the Lord sends them into the lake of fire. Death and hell are slung into, are put, placed into the lake of fire. All right, then what?
You may refuse if somebody subpoenas you here in this world. You may refuse a subpoena. You may give some kind of an answer to an earthly subpoena.
Right, you know what you could do if you get a subpoena here, or you know, they say, now you got to come to court. Well, you could bail out and then flee, you know, and become a fugitive and hide someplace at somebody's house and all that. But you're not going to run into anybody's house. The Lord knows where everything is. Amen?
Amen.
He knows where everybody is. Okay, then what?
That means you may ignore a subpoena from an earthly court. You may get away from that, or you can put on any disguise. You can put on a disguise whenever you want. You can commit suicide. You can go to a foreign land to try to escape from the court.
Yeah, some guys say, well, I'll shave my head and put a wig on and walk around like a girl. Well, the Lord sees right through that. Amen?
Amen.
He knows who you are, whether you put on a mustache or a beard or a dress and shave your face real smooth, throw a wig on you, and walk around in high heels. He sees all that. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
You can do all sorts of things, but it doesn't matter where you're at and or where you go or what you do. There is no place here on this earth or in the entire universe that you can go where you are going to be able to escape.
Or you hide. You can't run in the house and hide under the bed. God's there. He's everywhere. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Or where you can hide from the wrath of God's hand. If you can ascend as high as the heavens, to the end of heaven, to the end of this atmosphere, or out into the stratosphere, or into the troposphere, or the ionosphere, or if you even got to go where every missile has gone, the Spirit of God will be there.
Right, if you went to the moon, or they got one buzzing around Mars now. You're a human being. If you're buzzing around Mars, then he's going to bring you right to where he's at. Amen?
Amen.
Everyone's going to be called to order. All right, that's power. Then what?
He's there now to bring you into judgment. So if you even could bore down deep into the earth, clear to the molten core of the earth, where man has never went before, the Spirit of God will be there to bring you into judgment. There's no escaping God's judgment. Verse 13 of Revelation chapter 20, quote, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, unquote. You cannot die and escape the judgment, and you cannot be alive when the time comes when the Lord calls everybody into judgment. You can't hide from judgment. No, you cannot curl up in your grave and pull the dirt down over your face and hide from the judgment. You can't hide from God. You can't run inside the house and get under the bed. Even the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up their dead which were in them. Do you know how I know that the unsaved are going to be judged? So you won't think that it's just Tony. I want you to know that it's going to be Jesus that's saying these things. Turn your Bibles now to the book of Acts, chapter 17. Look down at verse 31.
Give me a little chance here to do that. Okay. Acts chapter
17,
verse
31.
Okay, you're there, I see. All right, go ahead.
Quote, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness this time it's going to be righteous judgment, by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. That's how we know that the dead are going to be raised, because even Jesus was resurrected from the dead. The assurance of judgment is Easter.
Yeah, because the fact that Jesus was resurrected from the dead, that assures you that there's going to be a judgment. Amen?
Amen.
Because the Lord said so. And Easter is when Jesus was resurrected. And other people were resurrected from their graves at that time as well that have been buried, dead and buried for years. Then what?
That's what the Lord really is saying here, that the assurance of judgment is Easter, the resurrection of the Lord. The one that is going to be the judge is Jesus Christ, the first one resurrected from the dead. Now look at verse 31 of Acts chapter 17 again. Now watch how I read it. God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness, whereof he hath given assurance in that he hath raised him from the dead. In other words, there is assurance that God is going to have a judgment, and that Jesus is going to be the judge.
Right. Otherwise, there couldn't be, if Jesus didn't resurrect from the dead on Easter, then there wouldn't be anybody to judge us. But because of the fact that he was resurrected on Easter, he's up there, and he says he's going to be judging those, even those that pierced him, even those that trampled over his word, his blood, with their dirty, filthy feet. Okay, then what?
Jesus is going to be the judge. Why? Because God has raised him from the dead. In other words, God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and one of his missions is to judge. You cannot have a judgment or a court if the judge is dead.
No, he's not dead. He says, I was dead, but behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I'm just waiting up here to do the final judgment and cast the evil, the wicked people, into the lake of fire and brimstone, and for the ones that kept my commandments, for them to live forevermore with me in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, then what?
You cannot have court if the defendant is dead.
Right. That's so, you know, if you, the defendant, the ones that God's going to cast in the lake of fire, how could you be judged if you're not going to be resurrected? Amen?
Amen.
If you're still dead, he's going to bring you up. So you can't have a judge if he's dead, and you can't have defendants if they're dead. He has to raise everybody up. Make sense?
Yes.
Good. Then what?
You cannot have court if the defendant is dead. That's how come I know that the unsaved dead will get up with the resurrection and stand before the awesome throne of God, the great white throne of God. So what Luke is saying here in the book of Acts of the Apostles is that God is going to raise up the unsaved dead, and he's going to be judged. Both the judge and the defendant have been raised by the power of God. In other words, even death itself cannot negate judgment. That's why I'm always surprised how people come to the church on Easter. Some people don't even come until Easter.
They come to church until Easter, okay? Because they think they're doing God a favor then. And they go there, but if they only knew what Easter meant, that there's a resurrection. And those that are in the kingdom of heaven, sitting in heavenly places with the Lord, were resurrected with him there. And we're sitting there now in heavenly places with him. But a lot of wicked people are still sitting in churches. And messages like this, they don't like. Okay, then what?
It looks like if you're unsaved, you ought to pick another Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, if you're unsaved, you're lost. You know, go next Sunday, okay? Don't go to Easter, because you can go up there with your glad rags, you know, and sit there and show off your rags. That isn't what Easter's all about, friends. Amen?
Amen.
That's about judgment. Resurrection and judgment. Okay, then what else?
Don't come to church putting on your glad rags, running in here on Easter, and don't know the Lord, because really what happens Easter does nothing but seal your doom. It seals your damnation that Jesus has raised from the dead, from the grave. That's what the Lord is saying. No, there's no escape from the judgment. So you see, the persons who are called, I've shown you the place where they will be from which they were called. You see, the power in which they are called, that's the setting.
Now, some of you people that are sitting in churches, you ought to get down on your knees now and repent. Because while you're still alive, where there's life, there could be hope, unless you blaspheme the Holy Spirit by calling the Spirit that lives in those of us that are saved, unless you're calling us devils. Because if you've done that, then you blaspheme the Holy Spirit that lives within us. Because the devil does not live in me. I'm filled with the Spirit of the Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if you've got something against me, it isn't me that you've got something against. It's that you hate the Word of God. And God says what He's going to do in the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians to those that hate His Word. He's going to send them strong delusion to make them believe a lie that their souls might be damned. So a lot of you people are running around the earth today, but believing a lie because God has sent you strong delusions because of the way that you hate the Word of God so much. And remember this, that he that the heavens and the earth flee from hates you as well, because you rejected His only begotten Son that He sent into this world to rescue you so that you don't have to stand at the final judgment at the great white throne, that you can spend eternity in the kingdom of heaven with Him. But you have neglected the Word of God so much that your hearts are so hardened. But if I were you, I'd pray that the Lord would soften your heart up, and that you'd, so that you could repent. And before it's too late, none of us have any guarantee of another day. All right, then what? Or to hear another message like this. If you wouldn't repent after a message like this, I doubt very much whether you'd ever repent. Okay, then what?
The scene that is described in the summons, this is now delivered unto you. Now I want you to look, if you will, at the secrets that are going to be displayed in the final judgment. Now let's go back to the first passage in the scene in Revelation chapter 20. Look back now at verse 12 and watch the secrets display themselves. Quote, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God."
That's to the poor people and the big politicians and the people that are moneyed and have all sorts of things on this earth, the great ones. Then what? They're going right up before the judgment, and they're not great anymore. Okay, then what?
"And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was and which is the book of life. Now look at this. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." Unquote.
Now, this means that God keeps books, a book on you. I mean, everything goes down in the book. He knows every thought, every intent of your thought. He knows everything that you're thinking, every lie that you've told. He knows everything about you. He knows of your devotion. Okay, go ahead.
"I want you to pay strict attention to the word books, the log." Verse 13, quote, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works." Quote, unquote. What the Bible is saying here to all of us is that God is keeping books on all of us. I knew that when the Lord first dealt with me in the office in Beverly Hills.
Lord is keeping books on us. Amen?
Amen.
And you can't hide from what you did. You may say, well, that was a long time ago. It's in the book. God kept books on it. He's not going to erase it because you say, well, that was a long time ago. Time does not erase sin. Time is not on your side. Okay, then what?
The words of verse 12 of Revelation chapter 20 state, quote, and the books were opened, unquote. These books that God has been keeping record in, these are the books that God has written down all of our secrets. All of our secrets, then, when he opens the book, will be opened.
Oh, Lord, I don't want you to know my secrets. I don't want you to tell them. It's going to be open and be above so that everyone can see them. But, Lord, I don't want everybody to see the things that I've done secretly, is what many people will say. I lied about it, and now they're going to know I'm a liar. Okay, go ahead.
We know most of us don't want our secrets told. Oh, my God, I've got some secrets, and I sure hope that nobody finds out about me. I don't want you to know about me. But the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 14 says, quote, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Every secret thing. Secret thing. Rome.
Secret thing. Secret thing. Secret thing. There are no secrets on judgment day. Okay, then what?
Romans chapter 2, verse 16 states that, quote, the day when God shall judge the secrets of men, unquote, will come. Now, whether you know it or not, God has a book on you. God has records on you. It is incredible, unimaginable, that God actually quoted every word that you have said. Right now, the cameras of God are grinding away.
Yeah, God has cameras up there. And they're better than Sony makes. Amen?
Amen.
They're better than these other camera companies. And he has tape recorders up there, a whole lot better than Sony tape recorders as well. All these people say these recording machines are the greatest. No, they're not the greatest. The Lord had recording machines up there and television cameras and movie cameras on you and every person that's ever lived on the face of this earth. From the beginning, and we'd never come to the point where we're ever going to have the kind of cameras he has. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. Okay, then what?
They're recording our television programs. We've got tape recorders.
Did you know y'all had a television program? You're a star. Amen. The Lord's going to show you. He's going to do some reruns for you. And me. Everybody. Then what?
We've got tape recorders that are on, recording our broadcast for radio. But what I want to tell you is long before we, mankind, ever had radio broadcasts or television cameras or tape recorders, before we ever thought about it, God had his own cameras, television programs, and tape recorders. Let me show you what he's recording. Just give everyone time to go to the book of Matthew and go to chapter 12. And just run your hands down to verse 36.
Okay, we're short of time, so just go ahead. They can catch it later.
All right. Verse 36, quote, and I say unto you that every idle word, even every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. In other words, every time you have taken God's name in vain, it's in the book.
And every time you've used his name in blasphemy, it's in the book. It's on your television program. Then what?
Every time you ask God to damn somebody or something, it has been written down in the book. Every time you've taken the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ and uttered it in blasphemy, it's also in the book. But Tony, I didn't mean to do that. I really didn't mean to say that. That's why you are condemned.
Yeah, there's all kinds of people saying, this church is a cult. Others, born again of the Spirit Christians are cults. Those are idle words that came out of your mouth. You don't know that at all. You don't know me, and you for sure don't know the Lord. Those are idle words that you're going to be judged for. And I can't say too many other words right now because my time is up on this program, but that's, you make sure tomorrow to tune in because we're going to probably finish this series on the Great White Throne. And for those of you that don't want to stand there and be sent to hell, God knows whether you're going to accept him tonight or not. It's going to go on your TV program. It's going down in the books. Now, if you don't accept him, that means you rejected him. And every time you reject him, that makes it harder and harder for you. That hardens your heart, like the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, because you absolutely refuse to obey those that have the rule over you, to receive salvation, to accept the things that the Lord says that are his law. But you can accept the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Step one is to say this prayer to the Lord and mean it with all your heart. Tell the Lord, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. I know that you're sending your spirit inside me because I know that you must live in me and I must live in you in order to escape the dreadful day of the great white throne day of judgment. So enter into me, Lord. I know you've heard me. I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands and praise the Lord and give him all the glory. Because, you know, people say that I exalt myself. That is not true. You've never heard me exalt myself once on this program. I'm always exalting the Word of God, which is Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Well, Sharon, you have to quickly give the folks out in Radio Land four different ways to receive this tape or CD. Ask for tape number or CD number 173.
Go to alamoministries.com or write Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. Or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
So be sure to tune in tomorrow for part 72 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord because you accepted Christ tonight with his Father by the Spirit and you are saved. Hallelujah. Amen.